Megan Miller is the El Nino of Spanish coaching. For those of you that don't habla español, El Nino is Spanish for the Nino. Megan is a word nerd and loves everything about communication, whether that's using her communication skills as a freelance IT project manager, helping others communicate the best they can in Spanish or English, or making sure that translated documents don't lose their spark or uniqueness when going from one language to another. We talked today about how she used to translate nerd speak to language for the rest of a company and how that's been used to pivot into her dream of becoming an entrepreneur and Spanish coach. Combining a blend of being book smart with being street smart, her approach to language coaching is one that's tuned to each of her clients' unique background and helping them to be able to communicate at any level. So if you're down to es sharpen your Espanol, Megan's your gal. Enjoy the listen. Hey, you're on the hot mic at Arch DevOps with Fritz. I'm here today with Megan Miller, founder, translator, and language coach at ApproveHR Language Solutions. How are you today, Miss Megan?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Although I used a lot of energy saying the name of your company right the first time, I'm probably never going to stick the landing again. We practiced this, the listeners at home, before I hit the record button. I'm like, oh my goodness, how do you say your company name? Because I'm looking at it and I'm like, ApproveHR. And I'm like, that's not right. So apparently you got to roll the R.
You said it beautifully though. Everyone, it's always a bit of a litmus test, because I want to see how eager people are to learn something. And they look at that first word and they have no idea what it is. I'm like, are they going to ask me or not?
Are they going to try it themselves? Well, and if they get it right the first time, then you're like, oh, you qualify for the premium package. You're a veteran. So, well, you know, it's interesting. And one of two big reasons why I invited Megan on. She's also a fellow NLV alum, a no longer virtual graduate, if you will, and our esteemed hostess, Sarah Elkins, who I haven't had on yet, amazingly, put this thing together every year. And I met Megan at the one last year in Atlanta, and then we met up again this year in Chicago. And I said, you know what? You have like totally changed careers. That's the other thing. Back in Atlanta, you were like a project manager, some kind of nerd like me, right?
Yes.
Way back then. Seems like a lifetime ago, huh?
Well, for me, because I made the flip to be a full-time entrepreneur, solopreneur, April 1st.
Yeah.
Pun is fully intended on that. I was like, I'm always going to remember this date, whether I want to or not.
Yeah.
To make that flip from IT project manager, so managing IT implementation projects and scripting and coding and all of that jazz, to become my own boss with ApproveHR.
Mm-hmm. You didn't roll the R. You didn't roll the R. I caught you.
ApproveHR.
ApproveHR. Well, so how, it's like, what's the bridge there? Because I mean, they seem like radically different things, you know, and people usually don't make like I'm doing this totally different thing. There's some point at which there's a commonality. What is it between IT project management and being a language coach? Is there some commonality there?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So to the outside, it looks like two completely different things, but to me, because my brain is probably a little touched by an angel, it's very, very similar, because what I was doing for the IT side, I was translating, I was communicating, I was basically taking nerd speak and being that middleman between the nerds and the general population. So
yeah,
it's taking that, distilling it down, figuring out how to train people on technology. And then so it was both translation and communication, and it was also kind of coaching, because I was helping people learn new things and creating a lot of documentation around that. And now I get to create my own stuff, which mm-hmm. is not all one pagers or infographics on how to log into a system. It's more like videos on how to improve your Spanish pronunciation to sound a little bit more natural, or when to use which verb, or what verb conjugations really are. So I get to really kind of drill down and live into that icky grammatical language piece and make it fun. I hope to make it fun for people to learn Spanish and to really make it part of your lifestyle.
Yeah.
That to me is what language coaching really is. I'm not here to make you fluent. I'm here to help you learn, but I'm also here to help myself get out of a job, really. Mm-hmm. I'm here to help you create the habits and the routines and the mindset so that you don't need me anymore and you can go forth in your life and continue to live bilingually.
Oh, got it. I thought for a second you were like, you're trying to get out of a job. Is it like, please, I don't ever want to go back to corporate America. I can't do it. Just let me coach you, pay. But I understand now you want to work yourself out of a job and still keep coaching other people on how to speak Spanish. Got it. I was scared. I was like, oh, come on, Megan, you gotta be like, you gotta aim high, right?
Aim well, the ironic stars part is I work in language, right? And sometimes my language fails me. So
I cannot
tell you
yeah.
how many times I've forgotten the word, the English word for something, or tried to use a Harry Potter spell. And I was like, this is an actual English word. I had to Google it. And I was like, no, renovate is a Harry Potter spell. It's not an actual English word.
That is okay. But it's kind of funny though. It's like, wow, you can't even English properly all the time, and you want us to trust you with Spanish? No, she is awesome, and she's done some really amazing presentations, and even when your presentation partner wasn't able to come, you were able to kind of wing it, and you're like, well, this is the part where they would have said this, and I'm gonna do a Fortnite dance or something instead. So, but she's quick on her feet. Why Spanish? I mean, what, like, could have been German or Italian or something? Why Spanish?
Spanish has been the longest love relationship that I think I've ever had. Mm-hmm. So I started learning and speaking Spanish when I was about 8. My mom went back to school to become a teacher, and she had to take a foreign language class with that.
Yeah.
And so she chose Spanish because we were living in a pretty high migrant community. And so I glommed along with her. I was being the curious little ginger that I've always been and said, well, you're learning something and I want to learn it because my schoolwork is boring. So yeah. I started learning Spanish, and it was just like this click in my brain of when it turned into jargon or babble and it actually became words. Yeah. And that has been the coolest thing that I've ever experienced. And I just keep going back to that. Not only that, but Spanish is such an emotional, just passionate language.
Mm-hmm.
It is romantic. It is all of the things that English doesn't necessarily provide, Spanish provides for me.
Yeah.
Just for the emotions or the passion and just the calmness, the tranquility, being able to express something in Spanish has made me even closer to English. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, oh, that's a preposition. I should probably know that. Or, you know, it's funny, when you learn another language, you actually get closer to your native language, because it's like you're relearning all of the things that you never learned in school all over again.
Yeah. You know, I often joke with people. I've got some folks that are in like English lit or English teachers, and there was a quote I read, which the more I dig into the English language in the background, the more I believe it, where it said English is like a mugger that goes and beats up other languages in dark alleys and rifles through their pockets for spare grammar. It's like, we don't really have like many words that we haven't stolen from everybody else. I'm sorry about that, but hey, it's just this mishmash. It's almost getting to be like pidgin anymore. So is there, well, I mean, when it comes to Spanish though, does the language evolve or change, or are there like crazy new slang words every year? Like, you know, the millennials are changing. They're killing the Spanish industry. Like what kinds of things change it from year to year? Any insights on that?
So the upper echelon of the Spanish kind of Real Academica Española, which basically is the body that governs the Spanish language in Spain. Okay. And they basically have kind of protected that language and insulated it against all of the mishmash, but the mishmash still happens, right? So they call it the vulgar language from Dante, where it's what are the people actually speaking? Because what you learn in school is not necessarily what the people speak when you go to a country and you speak to people on the street. There is a lot of crazy slang. One of my favorites is from Mexico. It's why. It's G-U-A-Y, why.
Yeah.
And it just means cool. Or like, que pedo is another Mexican slang, which literally means what fart, but it means like what's cool.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of different slang words out there. And my job kind of as a language coach is to teach you what you would learn in school, but also to teach you what the people speak.
Mm-hmm.
Because depending on your goal or why you're learning that language, you might need both. And I think a lot of us do need both. Even in corporate, you need to know what synergy means, but knowing yeet, what that means, can also kind of help you just kind of connect with your audience or just understand what people are talking about. Language is constantly evolving. It's constantly changing every single day. And the fun part, the part that I really like as far as the translation part of my business is IT translations.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to me what pieces people choose to say in Spanish and what pieces people choose to say in English.
Mm-hmm.
For example, software is software. Google is a verb, googlear. But sometimes people will say buscar, which is to look. So it's just really interesting to see that gray area between technology and language.
Yeah. That's actually really cool. Like I knew that before we had our talk and I'm like, this is going to be cool. But when you explained it, I'm like, dang, that really is cool. You know? And it's for somebody like me who I wouldn't shy away from using the word yeet during a board meeting. You know, it's kind of, it really is helpful to have that combination of book smart versus street smart, because just like in IT, you're going to have different layers of people that you're going to have to communicate with. And a really good language coach like Megan, she's going to make sure that you're able to function at all the different layers, which, you know, wonder of wonders, that actually gives you a much better view on how to, I guess, wield the language. You can wield the language properly. And that's neat. And I love how that, I was really curious, you know, when I first got on the call and I'm like, well, what is the common point? Like, how did you go from IT project management to this? But now that you've explained it, I'm like, well, it makes perfect sense, because I got to talk with all kinds of people. It's weird. You're talking with developers, and they get to talk with CTOs. It's like, you can't use the same lingo. You can't. You got to whip out the corporate lingo, word bingo, you know, synergy, circle back.
Exactly. It's like putting on a t-shirt versus putting on a suit. You're going to act a little differently.
Yep.
And language is kind of that commonality of, okay, what face, what language am I going to use for this? Like what specifically am I going to say or lean on? And for me, my business gives me everything that my IT career gave me, and that every day is different and I get to help people and I get to work on saying things or communicating the best that I can.
Mm-hmm.
But working for myself is just...
Uh-oh. Oh, are you frozen? Uh, Hey, there we go. You're back. Did you have an internet glitch there or something? Obviously, it wasn't me. I can't be. I mean, but you're back now. But you're back now. That's cool. Hey, that's the thing about the hot mic. We don't edit this kind of thing out. We just sit here and be like, "Aw," make faces, and then it unfreezes or people get back on and we're back in action. So, you were talking about the similarity between like IT and teaching Spanish, and I lost you partway through. So let's pick up where we left off. What were you saying about that?
So basically, just how, you know, we can wield this language and put on a different language face, if you will, and right. Really just speak to your audience, which is what we all want to do when we need to communicate something out. So for me, it hasn't really been too much of a shift between IT and coaching, simply because I'm still trying to help people take this really big nebulous idea or concept mm-hmm. and whittle it out and drill it down and say, how is this going to affect your day to day? And how is this going to help you? And let's figure out some ways to work together so that you are living, it sounds cliche, but you're living the life that you want to live, mm-hmm. right? You want to either work smarter, not harder, or you want to, you know, pick up your goals and really make those a reality. And so I work with people that are serious about that, no matter where I work or what language face I have on.
Nice. Well, I've got a couple more questions business related here, but even though we just got back on, I need to take a short break for a sponsor message, and then we will be right back and we'll ask some of the nuts and bolts questions. So hang on the line here for a little bit and I'll be back in just a bit. Okay, and we're back. So, you know, I had mentioned at the top of the show, I said, you know, when I met Megan, we met at a no longer virtual, and she used to work for kind of a real estate company. She was an IT project manager, and then she jumped both feet into being a business owner. And I said, whoa, what the heck? How did that happen? And, you know, we talked about like what some of the commonalities are and things like that. But what was the biggest challenge for you as you decided to start a new business? Like, was there something that stood out like, holy moly, this is scary? Or just the whole thing? Like, you know, what was the most challenging part of that?
Well, that's a very good question, because there wasn't a singular point that was most challenging. People will change when the pain of change is less than the pain of staying where you are. Mm-hmm. And for me, the pain of becoming a business owner was less than the pain of crying every day, basically, because I loved my career, but my career didn't necessarily love me back. Mm-hmm. So that entailed a lot of things. It entailed having a stomach ache between January and April, because I knew what was coming down the pike, and, you know, the nerves and the anxiousness and everything else. But also, it was very exhilarating to completely change everything that I had known. My work day doesn't start at 9 and it does not end at 5. 5 o'clock is actually when I do the most coaching, because it's when other people are getting off of work.
Right.
You know, it's schedule, it's mindset, and it's losing everything that you have learned. When you're in corporate, you learn certain things, mm-hmm. you know, show up to meetings on time and take notes, and no matter what, get your KPIs, get your goals, like whatever it takes, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm a perfectionist. I'm struggling to become an ex-perfectionist.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love rules and I love routine. So the hardest part about creating my own thing was creating my own rules, creating my own routine of, okay, well, I have this meeting, how am I going to prepare? Or mm-hmm. what, you know, what do I absolutely want to say? What do I want to not say? So it was, you know, leaving everything that I've known and completely turning it into something new.
Yeah. Well, I hear you on the trying to not be a perfectionist. I guess you're becoming a good enoughist, right? And as a recovery, yeah, you should see the face. She's like, oh my God, that's a hairplay. But I mean,
it's hard.
That was my background too. And it's like, I had to have it drilled into me for years. Perfect is the enemy of good. And it's like, or perfect is the enemy of done. And I'm like, wow, there's something to that, you know, like creating something that's not perfect, but lets you get it out of your head onto a medium and showing people and getting feedback is like, well, now you can adjust it to fit what people are saying they think it needs. It's a huge weight off. And I find it like deconstipates my brain. It's like, just get it out of your head and just get it out there. But yeah, it does seem though that, you know, as a corporate refugee myself, a lot of the stuff, you still use it. I mean, it has an impact on you. Were you always like a process person before you were in corporate, or was that developed through your full-time job, you think?
I think it was mostly developed through my full-time job. So yeah. When I graduated college, you know, it was this huge milestone. And once again, this terrifying, exhilarating experience of moving to Washington, D.C. with everything that I had in my car, knowing 7 people and living in a hostel for 3 days. Mm-hmm. You know, you get through an experience like that and just the weight of student loans and debts and how am I going to make this happen kind of crushes you a little bit. So I was looking specifically for a consulting job. And I got a very lovely entry-level position that was for a consulting company that I was not a consultant with. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I made that switch over to being a consultant, that process piece really, really developed. And all of a sudden, I thought, oh, this pudding, this mishmash that I have in my brain, if I put it into a process map, I feel better. Yeah. My anxiety is, you know, decreased. I like this. And it was that little dopamine hit. And ever since then, I've just been hooked.
It's a heck of a drug, isn't it? You know, yes. I'll give you an example, something like I probably didn't communicate at the right level with a director, but I told him one time on a project, I said, it was an IT project. I said, well, we're not actually software developers. I said, we're drug dealers. And he went, whoa, and I was talking about dopamine. I'm like, we give out dopamine. We want to make sure people feel great about changing and learning new things. Oh, okay. But whoa, you should have seen his eyes went boop. And I'm like, I said the wrong thing. I got to backpedal here. But that's me. You know me. I'm like, hey, I'm an extrovert and I'll often say the wrong things. Right. But that's what makes me, you know? And, you know, the thing about the process, though, what's really cool, I was never a process person either until I had an opportunity to become one. There was a client that we had a while back where they were just way into the process realm. And I'm like, whoa, this is a lot. But it affected me after a while. And there is an incredible weight that's lifted when you're able to take something out of your head and get it into a form that makes sense. It's like, oh, it feels awesome, doesn't it?
Yes, it really does. And people will react more to photos and pictures and images than they will to sometimes words or speeches.
Yeah.
And so for everything that I try to do, that's why, you know me, I speak in analogies and metaphors and riddles sometimes.
I think that's why we get along so good.
Visualize it first before you actually learn it.
Right. So I'm guessing that's something you do just as part of your coaching. You're able to take what you've learned, processify. It's not an English word. We can make up words. It's my show. Let's do it. Or I guess, is there a Harry Potter equivalent to that? Like, how do you processify an idea? Wingardium processifiosa. And, you know, get the point across to your students, to your clients about, okay, here's how to go about breaking this down. Here's the grammar structure. Here's, right? You're still able to use it. You're still
exactly.
Using it.
Yeah. I use it more on the back end because, like I said, I want learning to be fun, right? It should be something that we all enjoy. And for me, because I have the American standards of language teaching in my head and the international standards of language teaching in my head. And I have all of these, you know, funnels and charts and things that I use to create my courses, because every course is kind of custom built for that person and how they want to use that.
Right.
So it's really fun because I get to take that, process it down into what they absolutely need to know, what they should know. And then I get to teach it in a really fun way. And so we aren't necessarily looking at, you know, international language standards, but they're still getting that point across. And that's something that I learned from my favorite teachers growing up and in school and college, of you want to take something and you still want to, you know, learn it in a very process kind of driven way and build up on that. But you still need it to be fun. People need things to be enjoyable so that they keep going back to it. And it doesn't matter if you're into Dungeons and Dragons or jazz music, I can make Spanish enjoyable for that.
Yeah. That is neat though. I mean, there's so many places out there that try to do like this, just plug and chunk type of teaching, and it doesn't work as good. Like it might cover like 80% of the stuff for 80% of people, but then you've got quite a big slug of folks out there that just feel kind of forgotten. And building something, I mean, there's always going to be a base. There's going to be stuff that's common across everybody, but then the extra stuff that's tuned just to fit them, that's what takes that kind of training above and beyond. So
it minimizes your pain later.
It
so
does.
For example, growing up, I learned North American and Central American Spanish from Guatemala to Mexico, mostly Costa Rica, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Spain completely different vocabulary, different slang, different accents. And I've heard this from other people. You learn a certain type of Spanish and you think that you're fluent or at least proficient in Spanish. You go somewhere in the world with a different accent or a different rhythm or a different education level, and you cannot speak to them and you cannot integrate yourself into their culture. That's tough, because all of a sudden it's like if someone spoke high British English and they came over to Kentucky in a small one horse town, and all of a sudden they wouldn't be able to integrate and they wouldn't be able to be accepted.
Yeah.
And to me, language is all about being accepted and feeling that sense of community and belonging. So whatever that takes, whatever accent or regionalization that takes, it needs to happen.
It does. And I was going to say too, and I'm like, dang, there's places right here in America that you go like a few hundred miles in any direction. It's like, I don't know what these people are saying. We go to the South every once in a while and it's like, man, they got a mouthful of marbles. I don't know what in the world. I can't understand what they're saying. Slow down. Well, this has been really cool. Well, I'm glad to learn more about what you've got going on. I know we've had some conversations over the past like year and a half and just getting to know each other and stuff. And I've been following you on your journey and hearing what you've got going on, but you've really got something here. I'm going to put the title here, the El Nino of Spanish coaching. And then I'll be like, for those of you who don't habla Espanol, El Nino is Spanish for the Nino. Like that old Chris Farley joke from years ago. He didn't actually speak Spanish. You haven't seen it? Have you seen it? He dressed up as he was a weatherman, and he dressed up as like a Mexican wrestler. And he was talking about El Nino, and he's like, I am El Nino. And then he did that thing about, you know, El Nino is Spanish for the Nino. And I'm like, that's like courteous stuff. And I pause and I'm like, I'm going to add that to my mental repertoire and I'm going to use it for things. So I got to use it on you today. So
yes, thank you. I followed him through SNL, but I haven't seen much of his stand-up.
Yeah.
So I will look that up.
Check it out. Well, what are the next goals you have for yourself? I know you're putting together a course. How's that going?
It's going pretty well. I'm very excited for it. So it's pre-order all the way through September, but it is a course based for parents.
Okay.
So this year with COVID-19, with the pandemic, everyone's a little wonky, to say the least. And wonky. So I created this course based on parents to learn alongside their kids, because This is basically your basic Spanish, but it's a lot of songs, a lot of games, a lot of things to make your kid actually want to learn Spanish. It's near and dear to my heart because it's how I started learning Spanish, was alongside my mom.
Yeah.
And I figured if anything good comes out of this pandemic, I think it's more family time for all of us. Mm-hmm. And so might as well make it actually provide some real world life skills for the family.
Nice. That is cool. I was just talking with somebody recently and they said things that people are purchasing right now, it either has to do with helping them feel better or it has to do with helping them improve themselves. And you've checked both boxes. You know, we are all together as a family and it's like, well, if we're going to be co-located, stuck together, but we're going to be together for a while. Let's make the most of it and we'll make some memories and we'll teach ourselves some new things as we're going. So this is cool. I'm excited. I'm like vicariously excited for you. I think your course is going to be easier than the one I'm trying to put together. Shoot. I'm like, you get an easier time. So, well, this has been fantastic chatting with you today, Miss Megan. So I hope that you just rock socks. Keep being you, keep doing your thing, and we'll catch you on the flip side. All right.
All right. Thanks. And once again, I'm sorry for that whole internet glitch in there.
That's okay. I've had some really hilarious encounters. Like there was one time I asked somebody a question and it froze right as he was getting ready to answer. And he looked like he was just really deep in thought for like 30 seconds. And I'm like, wow, he's really thinking, you know, and I thought, I'm like, I didn't script this question. Did I break the guest? And then I realized, oh, he's frozen. Ah, ha, ha. And then, right then is when I blink back in and I'm like, oh, this. And so the timing is often is awesome though. We'll just leave it in there. So we're good.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It didn't break the flow of the show. We're good.
I both love and hate that I have such an emotive face, because sometimes when it freezes on some really funny faces that I make.
No, you didn't have over the top cheese face like he or anything. You were like mid sentence and you were like, huh. And I'm like, she's froze. Oh my goodness. But well, I will let you bounce and I'll let you get back to your day. And if you ever need anything, let me know. You know where to find me and I'll get this edited up and pushed out on Thursday. Sound good?
So soon. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get scheduled Thursday, but I'm going to work on it on this Thursday, but it'll probably go out in like 2022 or whatever. I'm kidding. It's like November or something. It'll get out there when it gets there. So we'll see you next time. And until then, just keep on trucking. All right.
And you as well. Thanks so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast? Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on. And also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at Arch DevOps.